there. And so we'll read there from the 11th chapter, and then we're going to have the table of the Lord. For I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Now remember, Brother Branham said that no man has a gift for himself. And he had this tremendous gift of praying for the sick, even the gift of healing, which if you entered into that in a meeting with him in the right spirit, the gift of healing would have gone through the whole building like we saw in Lima back in 1957. I believe it was, yeah. And it was fantastic. Anybody that missed that meeting missed one of the greatest meetings in Brother Branham's entire ministry. And that was there because of the people believing God that Brother Branham said, you make this gift work. So Brother Branham couldn't make it work for himself. It was always for somebody else. And I think myself that if we would get the idea that we're not here for ourselves, we're here for the Lord and to be a part of His body, to glorify His name, and get away from the old I and get in with the anointed word that's filling the anointed soul and serve God through the word with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It would be really great because this is the way Paul is. He said, what I got from God, I'm giving it to you. And I don't believe there's anything that we have from God that is not to be shared. Absolutely be shared. And to be under the divine providence of God, His control, His direction, so that He may be satisfied and we may come out the hundredfold winner. I don't believe anybody's ever going to bear a hundredfold except they follow Ephesians, where the Bible distinctly says, no man even has begun to understand the power of God that can be at work within you at His will. It means getting out of His way. So Paul gets out of the way, and he gives to the people what God gave him. And he said, I got this straight from God. And he said, you Gentiles don't know a thing about it, but I'm going to tell you, the one that I've proven to be alive by signs and wonders, proving the resurrection, and you have to admit it. So I'm going to instruct you now about this table, Lord, that you've been taking. He said, you're in error. We've got to get you straight right. Because the same one that gave me this tremendous vindication that proves that I am the voice of God to you and the authority gave me this to give to you. Now, see, there's a beautiful thing. If you're really convinced that Brother Branham was of God to give us the word, then hey, why don't we dig it? That's the greatest thing in the world. Repositories of the word of God. Well, that really would make you temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, let's face it. Because that word can't come and indwell you unless you have a place for it, which is part of the word itself. See, coming together. So he said, when he given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken, this remembrance of me. And after the same manner, took the cup of yeast, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often ye eat this bread and drink this cup, so ye do show forth the Lord's death until he come. Now, they're showing forth his death, but a dead man doesn't come. It's the man that died is coming back. And so, therefore, you know that his coming back for you and me could never be except for the blood. Except for the shed blood. Why? Because without the shed blood, the vessel cannot possibly have a cleansing wherein the Holy Ghost can come. And you've got to simply be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe God right then to baptize the Holy Ghost. From that time on, you add word upon word until you're full of the Holy Ghost. That's the whole thing. Growing up that stature. And you're noticing there comes to the time, and we're there right now, very close. Maybe not in our earnest expectations. Maybe not in what we want in our heart. Maybe not in a fullness that, you know, gives us this great sincerity and what you might call a real dynamic communion and fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to tell you. When you say live, die, sink, or swim, how far you got to go? I don't know how far we can go. When we've come to this place, live, die, sink, or swim, we've come to the place, I believe, But we're looking at the Lord's Supper and saying, look, He's coming. He died, He rose, He's coming. And I'm doing this based on that. Now, the next verse here is a lot like Peter. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. Let a man examine himself. That's where Peter is talking about the second coming. And he's talking about the fact that heavens are going to dissolve and things like that. And he said, knowing that we know this, what manner of men we ought to be. So therefore I see the same thing here from Paul, that knowing this as we know it, what manner of men we ought to be, and women, of course. Well, don't unworthily come here under the wrong conditions. You'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But you see, the people in our fellowship here, and the word that's taught here, there isn't anybody that doesn't understand that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And this memorial here, showing forth His death till He come, is showing forth that He died, but He is risen and we know it, and He's coming for us. And so therefore, knowing that, it is live, die, sink, or swim. And knowing that, it is not sink, and it is not die, but is live and swim. And if we die ahead of it, no big deal. You just go to a different body, a different place, have a better time. See? Now, what manner of men we ought to be? Well, look, let's face it. Brother Branham made it very clear. He said, look, you say you love me, you say you believe me, then why don't you obey me? And that's where many people are are guilty. But it says, let a man examine himself. Do I really believe the truth? Do I really believe in what I'm doing? Is this merely some little thing that I'm hoping is going to get me through? Or am I really one that really believes in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And in this hour, has seen Him in His resurrection power, although He Himself is not here. And you know that this precedes the literal second coming, because this is the appearing. And the appearing is the first step to the rapture. The one that appears brings the message. The one that appears raises the dead. The one that appears takes us up. Reincarnates Himself. We crown Him King of Kings. So, examining ourselves. And furthermore, I can't believe at this late date that there's anybody here that isn't sensitive to the Word of God as to our conduct. I put the emphasis on faith in this Word, faith in the prophet at the end time, faith in what God has done today, more than any conduct we have. Because though conduct is definitely a part of a Christian life, you cannot even consider conduct unless you are a sheep. There is no way. You cannot do it. You have to be that sheep, and you have to be the sheep that is born again and brought back into Christ. Now, it says, for this cause, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eats and drinketh damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak. And now, discerning the Lord's body by Brother Branham I preached the whole sermon many years ago, but we could maybe go another time. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So we're told right here that, in my understanding, it's a simple comment on the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that by His stripes we are healed. It's the same as said in Peter. So if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so now the point is, looking at ourselves, we have to see if we are truly born of the living Word of God, that we're truly standing one with it. And by grace we're going on to be more and more identified as being one with the Word in whatever way we can, by living that Christian life that's ordained unto us. Not trying to do the things we're not called to do, but doing the things which we know we are called to do. So he said, wherefore, brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. In other words, be very cautious, be very good with each other, pray for each other so that every single person will have the blessing from God, will not have to be taught all over again concerning these things, will not find himself even penalized to the extent that the person is getting sick, but will be able to understand thoroughly the identification in Jesus' death and resurrection and the part we have with Him right now, so that we can be healed of all of our diseases. As Brother Branham said, old age doesn't have a thing to do with it. The only thing old age has to do with it is this. You can't ask God for more time. God will either give the time or not. We've got no right to say, well, I've got to have more time. I'm 10 years over now, and that's longer than I anticipated anything. I wouldn't mind living to 100 if I felt real good. Trouble is, don't feel real good. But now the point is this, further identification with Him and standing with that Word, there is nothing to stop me from feeling good unless this is the thing that's going to take me out of here. Then on top of that, I still have the privilege of still feeling good and die feeling good. That's up to me. Or somebody want to pray the prayer of faith. Now that's the thing that really bugs me. I've yet to find anybody that really prays the prayer of faith. I used to do it. I am not a lot. That means you stand right there and believe God. Because what the guy's sick, what does he want to call you for if you're not going to believe God for him? You say, now you believe God, well, get out of here. I don't need you. Huh? Well, come on. He's supposed to pray the prayer of faith. You're not supposed to pray the prayer of faith. Yeah, you know it can be done. You bet it can be done. That's not the same as Brother Branham using gift to take it off either. That's your prayer of faith like you are like Spurgeon. It's my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to Him. And I have belief for the impossible. I believe. And I'm believing I'll see those results. And I'll tell you what, you pray that prayer of faith, those results begin to come, and you'll be in the place, you'll wonder why people aren't walking out of wheelchairs and everything else, because, hey, this is what God wanted, this is what God got. See, it's very hard for the people to... Yeah, it's just something like, they can't believe Brother Branham was God to the people. That's too high an office. So we call the elders and they mumble a prayer and we hope we get better. I don't buy that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm teaching you wrong. If I am, what are you going to do about it? I still say, why call somebody if he doesn't pray the prayer of faith? The reason you call him is because you're down. You don't go to the bank to borrow money if you own the bank. Anyway, let's face it. Okay. So that's it for tonight. We're going to take the table, Lord. Let's rise at this time then. The brethren come forward. And we'll consecrate the elements of the Lord. And we have foot washing and finishes our service. The Father, we ask you to consecrate these emblems, Lord. May your hand be upon that which is prepared here to bless it to the people and the people be blessed to it. So as understanding the Word of God, not looking for some divine or literal alchemy that might be performed in some spiritual realm, but just looking to the simple Word of God of what it says. We examine ourselves. We believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And above all, we believe that same one will soon be incarnated and be the incarnation of Almighty God and come back here down with us. We believe these things, Lord. If there's anything remiss or anything in our lives, we pray you forgive us. Wash us tonight completely pure, Lord, standing here forgiving everybody. Not blaming anybody anymore, but just laying everything out there and asking you now, Lord, to forgive us and to let the love of God fill our hearts and our souls toward each other so that giving no offense and receiving none, we stand here in the perfect light and life of Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you as we go to our homes for safety, bringing us here for safety getting us back home for a good night's rest, refreshing, Lord, to come back tomorrow. And just begin to see again how these messages have come to us, Lord, and we pray you'll help us with the historicity of it, making it more understandable. And then above that in the Spirit, Lord, to understand that how blessed are our eyes and our ears that we could see and hear and then turn around and hear again the explanation and follow right along the words of life, which we believe that everything, Lord, has conspired to bring a people forth in a resurrection and a rapture, Lord. We believe that. It's live, die, sink, or swim with us, Father. We just trust in the living God, the living Word, that we're one with it all. We thank you for the privilege of coming into this area that you have opened up to us. And what a privilege it is. May we
realize that no matter whatever is done in this life, if we had chariots of fire at our behest, if we had mountains of gold, if we had power, Lord, like we've never known before, it's not even a hill of beans compared to what has been revealed at this time, because we're already in progress right up in and to and in the great pearly white city. It's started already, Lord. There's no turning it back. So we thank you for that, Lord, that we know these things. And not only are we happy, prospering, and blessed, but may we, Lord, with good conscience and the Holy Spirit, stand for it and live it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Those who play the instruments are going to have communion at the end of the service like those up here do, in order that we have a great, easier and greater flow of continuity. So as the emblems are ready here, we'd like you to come to the back like you normally do and just come right along. And we have room back here for men to walk, for washing out there in the vestibule, back in the back. And that's the way it is. So let's get up and read the scripture and all stand up. And you want to start forming a line just pretty quick here. And the brethren are ready? All right. For I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Wouldn't it be great if Paul received something and then didn't deliver it? Now you see the responsibility of those that have a ministry. They must deliver. And the messenger which is a prophet. That's why he's a prophet. To deliver. What does he do? He delivers the message. He delivers it exactly as it was given. It's perfect. When he given thanks, he broke it. Said, take ye, this is my body broken of you. This is remembrance of me. Same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament. My blood, this do ye, so oft drink in remembrance of me. So oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread. Drink of that cup, either eat and drink of unworthy, eats and drinks of damnation or condemnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weakly and sick among you, and many sleep. I wonder if we really many times do discern the Lord's body and to the extent. Do we have an actual understanding of exactly who it was that came down and died upon Calvary? There's a bunch that, well, he was God the Son. I beg to differ. He is not God the Son. He's the Son of God. And that body was born of a woman. That body was not God. That body was called Jesus because Jesus was named after his father. And his father's name was Jesus. And the boy's name was Jesus. Now, if you begin to understand those things, I can tell you right now, you're beginning to discern that body. You're beginning to know who it is. Of course, the latter ain't the rest. They all want to discern the body by saying that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bunch of believers. Well, you could sneak that in there, all right, I suppose. If you're going to do that, then you're going to come right back to that. What is the body all about? It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you better know who he is, what he's doing, what he requires. For then you've got your own body. You're right back in the days of Elisha where they all gathered all this pottage and somebody threw some poison in. But I got news for you. They brought the word of God along and corrected it. Today we have the correction, brother, sister. We know who he is. That those don't study Melchizedek, who is this Melchizedek? They don't know who he is. I'm sorry, I'm telling you right flat, they don't know because they phoned me. Brother Bill, what do you mean? I can show you Brother Bill preaches two gods. He says there's two of them. I never said there were two gods. I said there's two people. I quoted the prophet. And I ask you, what do they believe in? What do they qualify? Then is this a reality? I can see old Judah standing right here doing it. He's happy to be called one of them. Oh, he'll take the Lord's Supper. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's a hypocrite. Well, you tell me a man full of the Holy Ghost, and you've got to be sure to be full of the Holy Ghost to do this. You tell me a man full of the Holy Ghost doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, who doesn't know who God is, who doesn't understand the scriptures, say, blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he talks about Jesus, the Son of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They can't even read that. Then you're going to try to make me believe they're going to read this? Now tell me where 18 people make the ark. Hold your wrist up so I can kiss it. Here's the Bible. See where you're stuck? This is the word test of getting in the ark. This is what it's all about. And I can feel very crude to you people and very facetious. I'm going to tell you, this word isn't. This word isn't. Because you're right here. Paul received that revelation. And he knew to whom he was speaking and who was speaking to him. And he said, that one made his son known to me. Talked all about him. Examine yourself. Because you see, if you're drinking to another person, that's why Brother Branham said, God raised the body. God raised the body. He raised the person. Called it a body. So you look at the body, huh? Intercessor, mediator, now on the throne. That one died. Do you discern? Judge? Tell me who does. Now look, if we get these things and really believe them, there's going to be one sick person amongst us. Take this message for your healing. Oh, brother, sister, listen, we got a lot to go by, so let's go by it. All right, that's the way it is. Let's bless the emblems in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of taking these emblems, and we believe with all of our hearts we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that body that hung upon Calvary's cross, that body that housed the only begotten Son of God, that one that was that equal to him, that firstborn who had become the firstborn from the dead, that is now at the right hand of the Majesty on high, that one, Lord, that died upon Calvary, whose blood we drink an emblem and whose body we eat an emblem. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. We do that before you tonight, knowing full well that this is the truth. Whatever merits are lying there, Lord, we claim, and all the merits are there according to Isaiah 53. We claim those merits, Lord, as never before, drinking under ourselves, not condemnation, but drinking under ourselves commendation in the blessing of the Lord God that came from it all. Now unto him be glory, unto him be great glory and great good to thy people who continue to praise thy name and worship thee and show forth thy majesty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Now, it's not enough to just know that there's about 99 and 9900% certainty out there, but it must be, as Brother Branham talked about, the black slave who remembered he was the son of the king. Though he was surrounded by 99 and 9900% of everything else, he was that son of the king. And that's the thing that Brother Branham was bringing across to the bride, that bride is the seed of God. Let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, go with us tonight as we go. We pray you take care of us, keep us from harm and danger. Safe journey home, Lord, and above that, a good night's rest, we pray to get us renewed in our bodies, but of all in our minds, Lord, and deep into our spirits, and seal deep within us this word that you have given us that by vindication from a prophet, Lord, which we're very, very grateful. We are depending on it, Lord, not just that it's vindicated, but we're depending that we're part of it all. Now, Father, bless your people and keep us and bring us back tomorrow for a time of rejoicing and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Now, we've already taken a message, of course, on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Lord's Supper is all about. And we read almost always from the book of 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, where Paul warns them that they are in great danger of taking the Lord's Supper in a way and at a time that was not justifiable or stood with the truth, and thereby, when they left the meeting, they were in worse shape than when they came in. Now, this cannot happen in a bride church. It's impossible. Because the preaching of the word, the conduit, even if there was just a modicum of the Holy Ghost in the whole message, you'd be more full of the Holy Spirit having listened and taking the word than when you came in. You'd be more positively built up in faith. More of the putting on of the wedding garment. and being ready. Why? Because it's impossible to be otherwise. See, there you are, right with sovereignty. So Paul warned them, and he said, now, you're on dangerous ground. I want to get you off that ground. Now, let me tell you, I received of the Lord. Now, this revelation cannot be changed. This revelation, though we read it in the Gospels, and we could know all about it without the Apostle Paul saying one word, I want you to know one thing. I do not care what any of the scribes wrote. And they're accurate because God gave them perfect recall. The thing is, as Brother Branham told us, it was Paul that received the revelation. And so we go here and we stand with it. And Paul said, this is what God told me. When the pillar of fire knocked me down and disassembled all my previous thinking, so they became such a mess I could only designate it as manure, because that's all it amounted to. My thinking is radically changed. I cannot think the way I used to think. Now, I was told many things, said Paul, about this man Jesus and how that he was supposed to shed his blood and said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And I believe, no doubt, with the rest of them, that they were carving his body up. And I heard many things. But I want you to know, this is what God told me. And this is it. You see the difference? Scribes, I have no problem with the scribe because he got perfect recall. That's great. See, they were part of it. They were into it. And so you could say they were in cahoots. They were sympathetic. Here was a man entirely unsympathetic. No doubt believing that they took the body of Jesus and carved it in small pieces and ate it. And they were kind of, like Brother Branham said, cannibals. And my heavens, who knows what. So I want to tell you something. God gave me this. Now, if I change one word, it's over. Now, I like that. Now, this is agreeing with what Brother Branham taught, because he laid her down that Paul received what those men did not. And when he stood against them, they proved they were seed by agreeing with him and said, no, Timothy doesn't need to get circumcised. But Barnabas said, hold it, we're going to circumcise. We'll do it. Paul, you ain't doing nothing. Now, who do you think? Just get your thinking cap on. Yeah, there. Paul, he was a great man, Barnabas. He went with Paul. Oh, yeah. This man was with Brother Branham. Yeah. I don't care if he's Brother Branham. He ate off his dinner, even licked his toes. Where does the word come in? See? The word of the Lord endures forever. William Branham doesn't endure forever. He's dead. Gone to ashes and gases, maybe. He'll be back, though. Why? Because he's part of the word. He'll come back in enduring, but at this point, he's fine where he's at. We know where he's at. He's in that dimension that he saw with all those fine people having a nice time. But you're getting my point that, hey, we're not dealing with men here. We're dealing with God. See? Now, he said, here's what happened. The same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body broken for me, this doing remembrance of me. Now, Paul said, I thank God for every remembrance I had of you. Paul had some wonderful friends. How many remembrances do we have of Jesus? How thankful are we for those remembrances? We should be more thankful. Paul, positively, much more thankful. So, he said, this is in remembrance of me. This is the cup you drink it. Memory of the shed blood. Now, what did the shed blood do? Well, the body had to be broken in death, and the blood had to be shed to make the door, to open the door. But that's what it opened the door. Now you got to go through that door. Now how many go through the door? Only those that come to the light. Right? They bring their deeds. Now Paul's bringing his deeds. He said, what I heard, forget it. This is it. Now Paul is bringing himself and these people right to the light. Wonderful communion service. He said, can we have it that good? We got it that good. There's no difference between William Branham and Paul. Why? Same God.
Same word. Who cares if Paul or George Brown or Johnny Smith? No problem. Well, his name could have been Rufus. With salt and they changed to Paul. What I mean, you know, that don't get confused about names and things. Get back to God. Oh, William Branham, great man. No, not William Branham, great man, great God. He said there's no great ones among us. There's a great God here. So, you know, makes you think, doesn't it? Get a little off track at times what would you call it, trying to be nice? And trying to be respectful, Brother Branham? I don't think Brother Branham liked that kind of stuff. The man I knew pointed everybody to God. Man, he was a stickler. Now, as often as you do this, you show forth his death, you remember him. Now, he said, don't drink it unworthily. Now, how would you do it unworthily? The only thing I know you could really unworthily is absolutely do what these guys are doing, which is plumb off that word in what they're doing. Now, if they were doing what they were doing, do you think they really had any revelation? Huh? Eating and drinking and getting drunk and falling around? Come on. There wasn't, that wasn't the way it was. They were sober. Paul was very sober, and he's bringing him back to sobriety. He said, now examine yourself. Paul used that same expression in Galatians. Brother Branham used it. Examine yourself if you be in the truth. Examine. Now, what was examination? The examination was, I, Paul, received this from God, and it is proven. I never heard the truth. I heard all the lies. And I entered into even killing the people because of the lies. And I'm telling you the truth. Now, do you stand with me or not? That's all he's saying. If you stand with me, you stand with God. So if I were to say, if I stand with William Branham, then I'm standing with God. They say, well, Brother Dale, I don't think you should go so far in that. I said, why don't you just shut up? I didn't ask you to think for me, and I'm not thinking for you. I'm telling you what I believe. And you know something? The more I tell it, the more I believe it. And the more I believe it, the more I'll tell it. Until it becomes a great factor of my life. So, well, I think then you're putting out God. I'm not putting out God. He's right there telling that man. And that's the covenant we have. You sign a contract and then go in and say, well, I don't think I'll live up to this contract. You don't? I got news for you. I'm going to sue you. What do you think God says? Oh, that's all right. You know, you can get by. Oh, yeah. Here's the Bible proving. He says right here, unworthily, you pay a price. So here we are tonight. It's always the same story. Simpler by the minute, richer by the hour. The truth, as we haven't had it in 2,000 years and maybe longer, who knows. It's the wind-up. It's the end. And pretty soon, there won't be any sick among us. There won't be any weak. All these things passed away. There'll be a resurrection and a rapture by the grace of Almighty God. So, all right, let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward. And what we'll do as usual, we'll start the line immediately. Then the brethren, the playing instruments and all, the sisters can take it at the end because it expedites us. There's room back here for foot washing, the same as back yonder. And then we will be dismissed, and service will be at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. So, all right. If you have the emblems out here, we'll just ask the Lord to sanctify. I want to pull the tray out there. Fine. Heavenly Father, as we are about to partake, we know that we do want to desperately stand with the Apostle Paul, Lord, who was no doubt truly mixed up concerning this marvelous right that you've left us, Lord, this commandment you've left us. And then he could say, I received it from God, absolutely vindicated. And we're in the same position tonight, Lord. We can partake under a vindicated ministry, and we know what is said here in the Word. We know the truth, Lord, what it is all about. And so as we partake, may it be now with the closer understanding than ever before when you said,
do this until I come, until we drink it anew in the kingdom. We know, Lord, that could be just hours away even, the way things are going, the way things are happening so rapidly. So let this be, we pray, Lord, a very special consecrated night to every single one of us, that we won't just say this is something we should do, but let it be with the stillness in our hearts, Lord, the sincerity of every fiber of our being. This is what you told us to do. We examined ourselves. We're standing with the Apostle Paul. We're standing with the prophet vindicated. We're standing with God. We're doing that, Lord, and we know you're standing with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Appreciate you all coming. Trust you have a good night's rest, and you sort of have a nice, relaxing day tomorrow. And we'll be back on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And trust the Lord to bless us. And if I find my way around, I might get to see a few folk. I never guarantee anything too much by the time I get up in the morning. And by the time I get around, I'm ready to go back to bed again. And I think, hey, that's a nice place. I should not have left in the first place. And what they call tiredness. But anyway, who knows what will happen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we go our way tonight, we pray heaven's richest blessing upon each one, Lord. We know what your word has said, and we're standing with it, Father, not just trying, because we know that if we try to stand with your word, that might sound pretty good, but the actual fact is your word is standing with us because it'll never return to you void. It's going to accomplish within us what it's supposed to. And we're believing, Lord, there's a people more full of the Holy Ghost tonight than where they came here, more understanding and more dressed, more ready, more everything, Lord, and more in the adoption, going right into the resurrection, Father. How can it be otherwise? As Brother Brandon said, if we're not bright, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, won't stand in her way. But he also told us, if 50 people are there and one's going to make it, you believe you're that one. We believe we're that one's, Lord, and we don't believe for one minute that make too many going up in the rapture, Father, especially on the grounds. We know people of my age and all, even younger people are departing this world, Lord. Your word is coming to pass, has come to pass, will come to pass, and nothing is going to stop it. And we're a part of that, and nothing is going to stop us either. So unto you we give praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Have the communion of foot washing. And, of course, I'm just going to back to John, the book of John, where we see the original setting forth of the scripture here in the 13th chapter. John, there's not a better one to narrate this than John, though we know that Peter is very commendable in his setting forth in the book of Peter what Christ accomplished by the shedding of his blood. I don't believe that John put it as well, but John here is narrating. He's a scribe. And it says here in the second verse, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, you know here that the word supper comes from the word sup. And the Bible said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'm going to sup with him. Now, the supping is over as far as Brother Branham giving us the Word of God, which we are eating at this point, and by the grace of God is coming through our lives, so that we are more and more like that Word, piling Word upon Word. Now remember, there's a life in the Word that's absolutely separate from the life that you and I live by the Spirit that is given to us, allowed, but not of God. The soul does come from God. You've got a brain which interacts with your spirit, which in turn acts with your soul. And if you and I fill our minds with this word, and one of the best ways to fill your mind with the word is by talking it. Now, you know as well as I do that, and you've been to school like I've been to school, that when somebody thought you knew how to solve a certain problem or could help them, they'd come to you, and you, by realizing you didn't know as much as you should know, but by actually talking and trying to help the person, you suddenly got illumination. You know, if the thing began to break upon you. Now, you know that to be true. And what the secret of the whole thing is nothing but repetition, that's all. It's just the more you repeat, the more you come into a line with that repetition, because you don't break any old habits. They tell you that scientifically, there's no such thing as breaking an old habit. That's proven. You know, physiologically, you build new patterns. So If you're going to talk this word, there's no way that you can talk it except you get into it. And then when you get in and start talking, it is going to start making patterns. Especially if you believe it. Now, if you're going to fight it, well, hallelujah. I don't care if you fight it. I mean, I'm not mean you people here. I don't care who fights it. What that person is going to do fights it, his little wrinkles in his brain that go down by spirit to his heart, he's going to get a wrinkled heart that's full of furrows that won't hold water. Just be a mess. It's like when you take a tractor out in the field and you get it all full of these ruts and things, and who in the world can possibly get through it? Pretty soon the tractor bogs down, then the farmer's got to yell for help. I guess enough of you know about farming to see that happen. Of course, you say, well, on my farm, I got this huge tractor that pulls others out. Well, who cares? My point's made anyway, and you know what I'm talking about. So, a supper having been finished, the message having been given, the life having been lived, Jesus is going to depart the scene. And, having loved his own, he loved them to the end, and then he sent the Holy Spirit, then he sent Paul, the anointed one, to the Gentiles to bring the word. So here we see here. Now, our supper has ended as far as the production of food has been concerned, or is concerned. Spiritual food in due season, we have it. Can't add a word, can't take a word. That which is perfect has come. It's over. All right. So, what happens? Now, let's face it. Who had the ability to confront Brother Branham? Nobody. The time he challenged Chicago, not one came forward and he said, you're smarter than I thought you were. It's right on the tape. Right on the tape. He said, leave the first man to come forward. It had carried out feet first. They didn't dare challenge it. No, they couldn't challenge the St. Bernard dog. But little chihuahua, yip, 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 behind his back. Those that dared to tempt God had diseases upon them, and they died with it. Others died in accidents. One woman died a terrible death. I said, I wouldn't want my cow to have Bill Branham's religion. She suffered so ungodly pain that freckles, and freckles don't come out in your face like warts and pimples. Every place a freckle was, it came, stood right out, agony. Now, of course, supper's over. Spiritual food in due season delivered. My, how they talk big now. People that say they believe this message are turning back. What about the guy that was out west? Something about him never did appeal to me. But next thing we find him involved with one of the deacon's wives, and now he's back in the Catholic Church. What did he believe? He didn't believe supper's over. He didn't believe the food's out there presented. If he had to believe that, he wouldn't have gone. I'm at the south of the wall. Happening all the time. How many preach this message pure from the message? We're got involved Pentecost and gifts. One fellow lied to me on the phone. He said, Brother Bill, I don't have microphones in the pew to pick up. He said, but that's not the bad thing. He said, there's no message to pick up. Means he did have them there. He had the microphones right there. He lost 2 people out of his church because they heard him say it. Right in the phone call. What do they want to lie about? Do you believe in gifts? You want them on the floor? Have them on the floor. Of course, I'm gone. Anybody going to tell me you got a gift of discerning spirits? Can't even go in that room. I'm not trying to take away gifts. As long as there's a true bride, there'll be a true gift of tongues. Where it is, don't ask me. Don't ask me. Take that them to the bride. Maybe some little person's got it. Don't ask me. Forget it. I don't know. I can't deal with those things. When they turned down Brother Branham, they turned down me because we were going to go in it together. I know that. I don't think I can prove it anymore because most of the people are dead now. Now, Judas got ready to betray him. Sell the message down the river. How do you sell this message down the river? By taking it and defiling it. How did Satan trick Eve? Gave her the word of God, twisted. Christus message? That's what it is. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Now, what's God doing right now? Putting all things under his feet, putting the church in order. And church order is not putting a little room with gifts in it. Come on. Church order is putting a bride in order by the Word, and the Holy Spirit fulfilling the Word in her, and she reciprocating in love to her husband. Who is the Word? And she, of course, is part of that Word. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. Where is he now? On the Father's throne, going to meet us in the air. We know that. He pours water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. He wiped the towel girded with. What's happening Jesus is doing now? He's washing with water a bride to present her to himself. How is it being done? By God himself. Show me when Jesus ever did anything on his own. You and I don't even do anything on our own. According to the literal rendering of Scripture, whatever you and I have from God must be used by the God within us, what he gave us, and it's manifested correctly. Until that time, if you and I do it, no matter what he's given us, we're wrong. We're prostituting the gospel. We're shut up to God. Sovereignty. That's a neglected subject. Nobody wants a sovereignty of God. They want to put to it or take from it. They want to look back or look ahead. Sovereignty looks right now. That's it. Now, poured out the Holy Spirit. Then comes Simon Peter and said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet, son? Jesus said, what I do, you don't know now. But you'll know hereafter. You tell me that we knew Brother Branham, while he was alive, really knew what was going on? You know, the strange thing is that some of them that caught it, left it. Can't get them to talk about it. You know that? You don't know because you're unless I tell you, because you're not in on these things. But I know. Because I'm here and I was there. And I'm still here. And I'm still telling you. Here it is right here in Scripture. You tell me Scripture doesn't repeat? Scripture repeats. And he said, you're going to rapture. And he said, you'll never wash my feet. Some say, I won't have a part with William Branham. Who's William Branham? Well, there he is right there. What's that picture? Scientifically proven. Yeah. Everything about this message is scientifically proven. Remember Walker's vision? The voice that thundered? And the great white horse rider, Indian chief William Branham, that rode by? Science looked up to him and said, went right back to what they're doing. They're test tubes. They didn't care two bits that their test tubes were proving a spiritual message from God. Huh? One mother, two fathers, right? Science. Now, your great-great-great-grandfather, the great-great-grandmother, they get you. Science just proved it. Scientific message. Starting with that scientifically proved pillar fact. The eye of the camera caught the light. The only true supernatural picture in the world. Everything proven. What more do you want? You should feel good now. Start climbing the wall screaming. Well, you know something? I don't care if this message gets in your legs or not. I want it in your heart. For in the soul comes out these things. And from the heart, there is either the goodness and wisdom and grace of God, or adulteries and fornication and murder. Despicable reprobate. That's right. So, Jesus said, if I don't wash, you got no part with me. William Branham said, I came to dress a bride, to wash a bride, and the waters to separate. Who needs William Branham? Throw him out. Throw out God. You're looking at me, aren't you? That's what he said. Oh, my blessing, blessing. Yeah. Certain guy quoted one time to another fella that a prophet was a living word of God manifested. He's a blessing, blessing, blessing. He said he believed the message. So my good buddy said, just a minute, I'll tell you where I got that. Right? And he quoted it because I just gave him the quote the day before. I found it, and I thought that's a pretty nice quote. So he gave it to him, showed him where it was underlined. Where is he today? Well, from where he is right now, I'd say he's got sucked, hook, line, and sinker into Jesus only. When could Jesus be his own father? Do you know that Trinity and oneness is the same foul doctrine? You know that? The woman with the son, the baby boy on her lap, where it says the child is the husband of the mother. So the father is the son. Is he? Sons have beginnings. Stick around. You'll find the fallacy. I don't rejoice in it. I'm going to stick my ground any day because I'm giving way to that stuff. Brother Branham said, oneness and Trinity were both wrong. They both stood still for the prophet, and this oneness, Miss Trinity, only just barely looked at him as though he were unique. Miss Oneness was a little more coy and shy, and she looked at him as though he might be worth looking at. But they both went off with the devil. Mr. Word, right? Was that his vision? That was his vision. So if you haven't changed your understanding of oneness and Trinity, you're still out there in the world. You know, hey, I don't enjoy saying that. I don't say to make me feel good and make me right and you feel good and you feel. That's not the point. There's a lot of things God's Word said that doesn't make either one of us feel too good. But it's time to listen to the Word of God the way it's written. He said, if I don't wash, you got no part with me. William Branham said, there's no life outside of this message. What are you going to do about that? And Peter said, Lord, not my feet, only my hands and my head. He said, look, you're carrying this too far. You only need to get corrected where the correction is necessary. You only need to get cleaned up where you need to get cleaned up where you're dirty. And that's what Brother Branham, he corrected the errors. He never came and gave us a whole new set of doctrine, a whole new this. He never said there wasn't a rapture. He never said there wasn't a resurrection. He never said there wasn't atonement. He never said there wasn't healing before. And came along and gave it. He said, it's all there, but there's mistakes in it. I corrected it. Why? Oh, change the whole thing. Wash my whole body. Where do you think Luther is? You think he's a sleaze bag? They're trying to make him in Germany now? Pretty soon they're going to be telling you that Wesley had girlfriends on the side. That's why he rode his horse 100,000 miles. To see about 100,000 girlfriends or something. They'll be telling anything pretty soon. That everybody's a sleaze bag. Listen, there's a popular... One day I'm going to give you some popular words that are in the lexicon today of everybody's tongue. One is revisionism. You know what a revisionist is? He's a pseudo-historian who wants to make you think things were as he'd like to think they are because he believes that condition is today. He's talking out of his heart, his filthy, rotten heart. That's why they say BCE now, before Christian era. You mustn't say BC, before Christ. You say BCE. Hogwash is BC. We may have to die for that one day. I don't think so. I think the Pope's going to make sure it's before Christ. One can't bet on it, but I still got an idea. He's going to skin those birds that come against him. You know what? You reap what you sow. Do you think we don't reap what we sow? I'm sowing a message tonight. I'm going to reap it. If I'm teaching you wrong, it's going to come back on me. You bet it'll come back on me. If I'm teaching you right, then it's in your lap. What kind of ground are you? See? Every whit clean. Now, so therefore, with Brother Branham correcting the error, we now have the perfect Pauline revelation from Brother Branham. Doesn't mean you and I got it. It means we have it here. Look at it. Now, he knew who would betray him. He said, therefore, you're not all clean. That goes two ways now. He could have washed Judas all over. Didn't do any good. He that needeth not say, wash his feet, clean the Lord, but not all. Now he's telling you here that not all the disciples were clean, but he also says to Peter, all you need is your feet washed. But this other fellow doesn't get anything. Judas doesn't get a thing. So after he had washed their feet and taken a raiment, he sat down and he said, know you not what I've done to you? You call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. So William Branham says, you call me the prophet of God vindicated. He said, you say you believe me, then why don't you obey me? That's what he said. I know it's right on the tape. And he said, you say, well, for so I am. I am that Lazarus, which was for to come. And that's it. Now he said, if I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash your own feet. Now what for? That's the part that's not clean. That's the part that you walk on. That's the part where we go astray, because a bad walk means we're not walking the Lord. So what does he say to each other? Lift up the hands that hang down. Make straight paths for the feet that are going astray. Get together, love each other, help each other. Don't criticize to the point where you make it a documentary of condemnation. If there's criticism there and justified, then the thing to do something about it. Help people. Help people. That's the big thing that the church needs, to help everybody in the right way. Not to help them into Rome now. Because you can do a million things for a million people and do good. Doesn't mean a thing. Unless you give them the word. You know what I mean? You sure you can do good, and nobody forbids that. I'm putting this on a higher level. You know, if we don't tell them the truth about a vindicated prophet, that God sent a man, and this is how we come to the things of God and to God himself, what good is it? Now he said, if I've done this, so should you. Did William Branham do that? Every single time. I'd give you an example. You should do as I've done. The servant is no greater than his Lord. And so on, right down the line. Well, that's what we're looking at tonight in the death of Jesus Christ. And that's when he said, over here now, he tells us that what I do now, giving you this bread, giving you this wine, they show forth my death until I come. Now, what did Jesus do? He died for a bride. He rose to live for her. And so we thank God that our union was made possible to him through the shed blood. And now we know that our union is in effect absolutely because we have a vindicated word. And you know, brother, sister, when you really come to stop and think about this, how in the world could we know for one single solitary instance that we have any hope, even the vaguest hope, concerning a part in the rapture unless there was a vindicated word concerning it? And you had a part of that word. You couldn't. You couldn't do it. Now think over what I just said. It's on tape. Want to play it back? You go ahead. But my point is well taken. For all you have within yourself and all that you hope that you might have, you really don't know. Except for a vindicated word. You don't. Now if you take that vindicated word and I take it in our hearts, we're a part of it and it's a part of us. There's no way that we could possibly miss the rapture because we alone have the revelation of it. Brother Branham said the bride was waiting for it. So here we are in this end time period. No matter where you go in Scripture, you can see Scripture repeating. You can see the hour in which you live. And that is what we're looking at this time. So let's rise at this time. And we'll come forward to partake of the hymns and we'll go into foot washing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at this time as we look to you for grace, amazing grace, Lord, to be partakers of that which you have set forth here that the church should do. We must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully immersed in water. We must also partake of these emblems, Lord, representing the broken body and the shed blood, which is to you personally, and are believing it and adhering to it and knowing what it is truly about and what it does. And then, Lord, we know also that the washing of the feet is also set forward. And that is that, Lord, the correction that we know to come to those who are in the bride. All will not take it. There will be those who cannot take this word, but there will be those, Lord, we know who do. And those who do, then, Lord, we know that so should we bear one another's burdens and so work with each other in a spirit of love and humility, knowing that we can be tested and tried and even fall. Even as you said in your word, that do not be spiritually lifted up. No way, shape, and form. Because if we do things like that, then we know that we are liable ourselves to fall. Then who would lift us up? We know, Lord, you will. But you have asked your people to be like you, to help each other in love and kindness and do those things which will be for edification. Even as Paul said, I'm not saying these things in order to hurt you. I'm saying these things to edify you. It's not that I have an axe to grind, but I have a sword, even as the prophet, to dress you. And these are things, Lord, that we must remember, each and every one of us, to do these things. And by your grace, Lord, we shall certainly continue to do everything we can. And we know we have enough grace to fulfill every component of showing forth and manifesting the love of Christ in human vessels, and to those who also are of us and need help. So may we, Lord, be like Paul, who said, we are not stretching beyond ourselves, but one thing we will do, we'll stretch unto you. We will help you. We'll do everything we can to help you. So Lord, help us to be, make us more aware of our abilities that lie within us and the fruitage we have at our fingertips and in our lives, to see these things amongst us and bearing the manifestation as we so desire. Not just pray about it, not just talk about it, but actually believe and enter into a faith covenant as never before, that the grace and works of God, the Word of God, may be fully over our hearts, minds, and lives, as Brother Branham told us they could be, until we come to the place. And God, may we be helped at this point to realize He spoke the truth, that we can be living, He said, living statues, living images, living people that really are manifested to be the gospel of Jesus Christ, the works of the Lord of glory. Even as He said, we're little messiahs right down the line. He said so many things to us to set our sights at the far even beyond anything we'd ever done, knowing this is that hour and all things are possible. So we partake tonight, Lord, may it be with faith as never before and grace as never before and hope as never before, so we can abide in the truth as never before going onward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. So the emblems are blessed before the Lord. The brethren come forward. And we'll just go right into the remainder of the service.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we're about to depart to our homes. And we thank you, Lord, you preserved us thus far and helped us to come to service and hear your word, Lord, which we delight in the inner man. And we also delight even more so when there's parts of it that we know that we are obeying and watching carefully that it blossoms in our lives. Now keep us as we go home, Lord. We pray for good night's rest, for your help, Lord, to help us all along the way. May we ever encourage ourselves and encourage each other, Lord, as dear children of God and brethren in Christ. And so we thank you now. We pray for the sick amongst us and anyone else that needs help, Lord. We just ask you to remember those in the far-flung areas that are part of us in spirit. May they be blessed also with us. So grant your blessing upon us. May we know it has been granted and is continually with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. You may be seated. I want to thank Brother Hall for his message. It's certainly word by word with the scripture and what Brother Branham said. Even the very fact Brother Branham said Jesus was the blood of God, using the very scripture in Acts 20:28, and that's the one whose death by crucifixion that we celebrate tonight, in the sense not of celebration as the world celebrates, but we actually give it great credit and great glory, because he said, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And that's now what the communion service is about. If Jesus was that blood of God himself, he puts it into a person, the humanity, which it certainly is. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter again. From the last time we had this reading in the last communion service, and I took the first few verses, I deleted number one, but it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul evidently here is setting himself forth an example. And that example now comes out a little later on in the communion service, which we read here. Now, they were to be examples, but they were not examples. The church was in complete disarray, with women taking oversight over men. They were cutting their hair.
way back there in the first age, was signified they were taking the authority over the male, not realizing that the Bible distinctly says that the head of woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ, we're talking of Jesus now, is God. They had left Paul's example, which was the Word itself, by complete revelation, the true Word of Almighty God, and obedience thereto. So in verse 17 he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." Now we realize, of course, the declaration was the revelation that God gave him when he was out there in the desert Arabia. Brother Bann said about those 3 years out there, when he spoke to Jehovah Elohim face to face, apparently in a pillar of fire. And God himself told him what happened on that night of the betrayal and the crucifixion when the Lord's Supper was instituted. So he said, "I declare unto you, and what I'm going to declare now concerning this supper, I praise you not that you come together for the better, but for the worse." Now, this is exactly what I showed you in 2 Corinthians 11, where the church had already committed the terrible sin of departing from the truth concerning the Gospels, concerning the Holy Spirit, concerning Jesus himself. And as I said, if it was bad back there in the first century, what is it like today when you talk about the truth 2,000 years later? It would actually take another Paul the Apostle, under the complete vindication of Almighty God, spoken in such manner as Paul himself spoke in many occasions, which I pointed out to you, Romans 15 chapter, which we all know, and other particular portions of whole chapters of 1 Corinthians and so on. Paul was vindicated by God. And if we don't have such a person, where are we then 2,000 years from the time the bullet went off track? I said the same thing now concerning this communion. They are completely off track. They have desecrated it absolutely. And their desecration was in coming together and eating sumptuous meals where the rich could have their place, just like the poor gossip businessmen. Now, you should have been with me that time when I was ignorantly helping Organ Bright, who literally kind of pretended he didn't even know Brother Branham or thought a little bit, told a little bit about him. But he was with his high mucky mucks, the millionaires, and they were up there in the penthouse, the birds' penthouse, you know, the crow's eyrie, not the eagles. And when I went up there to contact them to give them a word from Brother Branham, boy, they were going to throw me out. I said, "Listen, I'm not here for me. I'm here for you." I was angry. When I get angry, the mouse roars. And we had her out. I'm not kidding. I don't care about your million bucks or who you are. You're Tyson beat up somewhere. I don't care two bits about that. I'm not the least interested. Let's get the word says. You had the same full gossip businessmen back there with their hummingbirds' tongues, you know, and frog's eyebrows in aspic, and all that stuff. Same thing here. Separated because of money. Big shot. The root of all evil intrinsically was money back there, and it is now. And I can go into some sermons on politics and show you. And I'm not politically oriented to pre-political message, but I can sure tell you what's going on in this world. Now, 2,000 years later, we have the same thing today with the same Trinitarian gospel, same Trinitarian God, same mess. They got an entirely different Jesus from what Brother Hall spoke up tonight, which we know to be the truth, that pre-existent one, that Son of God, who did not bypass his spirit or word body. They're all mixed up. So what is it like 2,000 years later? Now, it's exponential in its tragic, horrible condition. The church is lost. And except Elijah come, there wouldn't be one person saved, not even the elect. Now, I know people don't, well, they don't want to believe that. That's okay by me. Believe what you want to believe. I believe my Bible. Now, we took the communion. Months or years ago, I read you an article how that a certain woman preacher of the Lutheran church invited a woman in to dance naked, impressionistic dances which are supposed to worship God in a religious service. Now, the God of America is literally not just gold, it's a woman, naked woman, gold-plated. That's your mess. A woman in this condition, depicting the church which she was, shows the abysmal depth to which the church has sunk. It's exponential. One more grain of sand, like you put sugar into water and you heat the water, you keep adding sugar, there comes a time when it takes just one little grain of sugar, that's all, and it crystallizes. It's over. So you've got the what's known as the exponential curve. You know how they talk about it? If you have a jar and you start with two beans and you keep doubling every day, double that amount. When the jar is half full, how long does it take to fill it? Just that one times off because it doubled. Now, the church is in a horrible mess. Filthy, rotten, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, vomit-eating, filthy church. Now, what about the Lord's Supper? What I talked about the last time, I didn't know that Reverend Prude had in his pocket to hand to me my answer. And that answer is the church in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, started now in the States and around the world if they can produce themselves and think they can. And they said, when the Garden of Eden, we were there, they were naked. So they said, we will celebrate communion in nakedness. Now, let your thinking go. Let your thinking go. Two things I've brought to your attention. These people are naked celebrating communion because they were naked in the Garden of Eden. Is that right? Now, let's ask a question. Where was the first communion based? But in the Garden of Eden, when God slew a lamb and shed the blood. That which goes round comes round. You're now complete. They were totally unclothed except for little fig leaves, which most theologians put down to be works, filthy works, which anyone in his right mind knows that they're covering up where the trouble was. If it had to be in their eyeballs, they would have put on cheaters of some description to black the eyes up. Had it been their hands, they would have done something to their hands. So you can tell where the problem lay. There's no doubt that's where serpent seed came from. Absolutely no doubt at all. And anyone to deny it under vindication is, he's just like Cain denying what really happened and who he really is. You see, the bride has no trouble. We have no trouble admitting the truth. So, we have come full circle to new nakedness. The shedding of the blood of the Lamb. You show me where Revelation 3, 14 to 21 has not been fulfilled. Completely naked. Wretched, miserable, blind, and God Himself standing there. They're taking communion right today. I say the exponential curve is completely finished. I don't know when the next thing's going to happen, which without a doubt is going to have to be the stock market crash, the whole system go. It's got to be. And those that trust in riches have completely fooled themselves. And so the message tonight dovetails perfectly with what I am saying. In whose blood are you trusting? In whom do you trust? Who is your mediator? Who is your intercessor? That's the one we're talking about that died upon Calvary. As Brother Branagh said, the most horrible death. And it was. We played the tape that Dr. Dobson sent me. We sent around the world.
Let's dismiss us with prayer. Heavenly Father, we go our way tonight. We pray that you'll bless each and every person present here, safety, journey home, and good sleep. at night, Father, giving the body rest and the soul also rest, and may be renewing in the heart and mind, Lord, for tomorrow and for tomorrow evening service and Sunday, Father. It may be a time of rich blessing, not a time of excitement, Lord, or duress of any kind. But rather, Lord, let it be the peace of God and the richness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, mercy and love be upon us, and every heart filled with that, Lord, and manifesting your presence and your goodness to us. So the calm spirit of Christ be with us all, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ support and keep us and refresh us and make us even more endearing children of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.